And there's your 8 a.m. Rooster Call coffee pour. It means it's Saturday morning. Rosie on the house. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. If you have a garden or landscape or outdoor living area you'd like to talk about, learn about, or just sit back and enjoy listening about, this is the hour for you. You can join us at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you on this here 149th day of the year. May 28th, sunrise at 5 a.m., sets tonight at 8:12 p.m., and it was on this date, in 1664, the French West Indian Company secured royal grant of all French colonies in America, and in years to come, they'll be talking about this date as the day the 460-pound giant pumpkin record was broken here in the great state of Arizona. We're going to get Jay Harper on the line from Harper's Nursery along with Dean Baker to talk about the giant pumpkin growing contest that's going on today. We'll also...
And what does Dean know about giant pumpkin growing?
Well, he's the one that currently holds the record.
Well, then he knows a lot.
He's the one holding the record, so he should. I'd like to know how many gallons of water it takes to grow a 460-pound pumpkin, but we'll get to that. It's also getting into the summer, and there's fire season, I'm sure. I have not checked fire restrictions. We're going to do a little family camping. Generally, this isn't a weekend we'd go. I don't go when it's crowded. But it's just how it worked out this year. But I need to check fire restrictions. Did you know?
I think you're clear.
We're still open.
I don't think there's
camping's not camping without a fire.
I don't think there's a Forest Service yet that has posted a fire closure. There are fire warnings out. But I think you verify that with the forest you're going to.
I'll check that on the break for a public service. Anyone that might be camping, you can take Rosie on the house with you if you've never ventured outside of your local listening area during a Saturday broadcast. Worried that you're going to miss something on your weekly Rosie on the House radio broadcast? Just know we've got you covered nearly statewide from KGVY, starting south of the state in Green Valley, moving up to KNST in Tucson, KTAR in Phoenix, KQNA in Prescott, Chasm in Sedona, and Calf Country in Flagstaff. So you can get on the road with Rosie on the house and just switch your frequency as you move through the state. On fire, the Arizona Community Tree Council, coming up on June 11th, has their next homeowner tree workshop and FireWise program in Sedona at 7 o'clock. You can get that at actc.org. They've got FireWise training for homeowners all over the state. They've already had them in Phoenix, Green Valley, Flagstaff, Florence. Next one's in Sedona. Coming up in Springerville, Payson, and Quartzsite. You wouldn't think you would need a fire break in Quartzsite.
You sure would.
I guess those tumbleweeds must get pretty clustered together.
Yeah. Last time I drove through it, I couldn't even remember any shade. I'm glad the shade council's out there. Maybe they're getting to that.
Romy, KTAR has a nice article on camping out this weekend. And for the second year in a row, there are no fire restrictions. But, of course, they give lots of caution because we don't want a fire. But they just talk about making sure it's really doused.
One bonehead with a tracer gun blasting off in the desert to set how many thousands of acres on fire?
Or just somebody leaving an abandoned fire for a hike during the day burns a 500,000 acres and coach you in
or somebody who gets
Graham County Green
lost
County,
and sets a signal Apache fire County. And the helicopter that comes to save them fans of flame and
rodeo Cheddar Sky fire.
Yeah, or you think it's out, you know, some people you really think it's out and then there's little embers down and they can just keep going, so be careful.
I think the statistic is about 90% of the fires are human caused.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a natural part of element, but a lot of times when they start in nature, it's self-contained. You've got lightning, and usually following lightning is rain, and it has a way of handling itself. All right, let me see if I've done this right. I think I've got Jay on the line.
Yes, sir.
All right, good morning. That's somebody that's... They could probably talk a little bit about camping, too. What's the best place along the rim to go camping, or do you guys never venture out because you've got your little sweet honey hole?
Well, if it's going close to the rim, you know, anymore, we don't, you know, rough it as much as we used to. But, boy, there are there are some really neat places, and I really kind of hate to tell people.
Yeah, get out and find your own.
Where there are, back off. If you know, and as long as you can disperse camp, because sometimes when the fire restrictions are in place, also then dispersed camping goes away, and you have to camp in a campground. So without fire restrictions, that's kind of the neat thing, is then you can, you know, you can go find a real hidey hole place somewhere. One of my favorite, most beautiful places is kind of the back way into Bear Canyon Lake, and I'll just leave it at that. So somebody wants to find that, that's one of my favorite places to go fish, and would be to camp if I was camping.
In the good old days when the population of Arizona was 1.5 million and John Jay were in, and I were in high school, you could actually go up to Woods Canyon or Knoll Lake, Chevelon Lake, and camp perched on the rim and not see another camper.
Yep, that's true.
You'd have the whole rim road to yourself.
Yes, especially if you went during the week or on a non-holiday weekend. You know, you mentioned Knoll Lake. If you want a campground camp, that is one of the prettiest campgrounds without going clear to the White Mountains or Big Lake or something, that I think it's very high in elevation, lots of big spruce trees and fir trees, and I haven't been there in a long time, but at the time it was a beautiful little campground at Knoll Lake.
And that's Knoll Lake. And I'll give one tip, and then we'll get to our giant pumpkin contest.
Camping tip of the week.
If you're on the rim and you're looking for a lake that has some shore and you want to put your feet in it, don't go to Blue Ridge Reservoir.
No, that's true. Or Chevelon.
well, and if you get to Blue Ridge Reservoir and you think, huh, what would be a lake, and you know Chevelon's not an option, don't go to Long Lake. That's like a big cattle pond. And there's no shade anywhere. So there's two places not to go.
To avoid.
Are you telling people not to go there because that's where you're going to go? Or?
No, because we went to Blue Ridge because I'd never been there before, and we like to, every time we go camping, we go someplace new. And so the kids wanted to play in the water. I'm like, well, Blue Ridge is the closest. Let's go see what it's like. And it's just cliffs.
Yeah.
So then we look at the map, and like, and we would have stayed there, but we still had kids under 1 year at the time. You can't, you know, there was just not a place for infants. So we go to Long Lake, and after a long, beautiful drive, we get on top of this plateau that suddenly becomes barren, and Long Lake is just a big cattle pond. Completely muddy. You can't even get to the water because you're knee-deep in mud getting to it.
Sits out there by the Bar T Bar on top of Anderson Mesa, and it's never very clear. It's pretty muddy.
Yep. That's the one. So I'll save you that time in venturing. But why don't you introduce your guest this morning?
Well, we for the second year now in a row, this is our second anniversary, have the pleasure of having the giant pumpkin growers here with us, and Dean Baker, who is the current state champion holder for the giant pumpkin in the state of Arizona, is the organizer of this event. We're weighing in 6 pumpkins this morning, and we welcome Dean to the show. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
He's. I'm looking at the top 7, and he's got 1, 2, 5. So he's got 5 of the top 7. So I think he probably knows what he's doing when it comes to trying to grow a big pumpkin.
Do we have Dean?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So what was your inspiration in becoming a giant pumpkin grower?
Well, Dave Smith went and put a pumpkin seed into my garden 1 year, about 6 years ago, and said, we're going to grow pumpkins. And I failed miserably for the first 3 years until we struck on the idea of, you know what, we probably ought to plant these earlier in the year. So now we plant in January, and we pull them out of the ground at the end of May, because that allows us to simulate the temperatures that people in the real world, pumpkin world, have for growing pumpkins.
And what do you do with a giant pumpkin?
We brag about how big it is.
Okay.
It's a great photo op if you want to bring the kids down to have a Halloween card made that you can send out this fall. You know, to be surrounded by 6 pretty hefty-looking pumpkins. Some of them look like about the size of my first car, you know.
I think we need to somehow tie this in with, because isn't Young's Farm pumpkin chunking contest coming up in like another 3 or 4 weeks?
Oh, I wish that we could. I keep thinking that if we could get a big crane, that we could raise it up about 100 feet and drop
just
it.
Just drop it.
And I mean, there's a number of places that do that, and the pumpkin just scatters all over. And I'm not sure how the city would feel about it, but it'd be fun to do.
We could get it somewhere that it would just naturally compost.
Yes, it'd be compost in place. And the other thing that people do with them is that they open them up and kind of clear out the guts, and then they use them as boats, and they have boat races. And I think about going over here to one of the, like, Chaparral Lake in Scottsdale or something like that, and just having a regatta.
A pumpkin boat regatta. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to figure this out, because we can't just grow a 400-plus pound pumpkin. How many entries do we have this year?
We have 6.
Yeah. With that many entries, there's got to be a follow-up to a usefulness for those.
Well, and I know that the pumpkin carvers, there are artists that specialize in carving some beautiful Halloween-type characters using pumpkins, and we've had calls from some of them looking to take our pumpkins and use them for carving purposes, and we'd love to be able to do that at the very least. But I think that the dropping the big pumpkin or using it as a boat would be more fun for us.
And what time is the weigh off?
It's at 9 o'clock this morning.
9 o'clock. How long does it take to weigh 6 giant pumpkins?
It really doesn't take long to weigh the pumpkin, because we have a certified scale, and once we get it on the scale, then we can, we'll know what the weight of the pumpkin is. The work is actually getting the crew together and lifting the pumpkin up on a tarp, moving it onto the scale, removing the tarp from underneath the pumpkin, letting it settle and get the weight. And then after we get the weight, then, of course, we have to have pictures of us with the pumpkins.
All right. Well, we'll have a follow-up time there with about 9:30. We'll get a report on what the giant pumpkin is this year, and if we've got a new record. If